Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will use this city as a tool of witness in the lives of those who are struggling to live godly for you. I pray that it will bring deliverance and set the captive free. Lord, as it goes beyond the prison walls, the highway and byways, that it will compel those to come unto you. Lord, those that are struggling, that they'll begin to live victoriously. And Lord, when that race is over and it is all finished, Lord, they can come unto you and you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name.
Oh, we bless your name right now, Holy Lamb of God. We praise you, Lord, and we give you glory. We give you honor and praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Lamb of God. We thank the Lord for our praise and worship team inviting us into their space of worship. How many of you felt the presence of God as we begin to magnify and glorify the Lord on this day? I want to invite your attention to a couple of passages of scripture. First in Philippians 3, 10 through 11, and also Luke 24, 1 through 7. And if you have those, would you please, sir, ma'am, stand to your feet as we give reverence to the reading of the Word of God. If you're not with a Bible or source of the Word of God, if you just look up on the screen, those scriptures are posted. And if you would, now allow me to read these aloud in your hearing as you read them silently. And again, I thank God for you being here. In Philippians 3, 10 through 11, the Bible says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Everybody say resurrection. In the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection. Everybody say resurrection. Resurrection. The resurrection of the dead. And in Luke 24, 1 through 7. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Verse 6, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Everybody say, rise again. Rise again. Father, we are grateful, Lord Jesus, for this service, this resurrection Sunday morning service. And we come, Lord, humbly submitting to you, God. We want to leave here impacted by what you've done on this day. Now, Lord, let me, your servant, be found decreasing as we watch you increase in this place. And as always, Lord, whether it be live stream or in person, if anyone has never repented of their sins nor been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins, let this be the day, Resurrection Sunday, that they receive, Lord, all that you have for them. And when everything is said and done, we'll remember to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Let everyone say, in Jesus' name. Before you're seated, sir, ma'am, allow me to invite you back to verses 6 and 7 of Luke 24. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. I want to leave you with this thought in the remaining time that I have. The power and hope of the resurrection. Somebody shout, he is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Put your hands together and give him a hand clap of praise for rising on the third day. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. This may not be the typical what we call Easter Sunday morning service. I do not apologize because I need somebody to come with a brand new perspective of what the power of the resurrection is and the power and hope of the resurrection. Today we honor, celebrate, and commemorate one of the most holiest days in Christendom, Resurrection Sunday, better known as Easter. Really, today we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, but since the term Easter Sunday is so prevalent around the world, now, listen, I get it. I understand it. It's okay if you celebrate Easter because most people have no knowledge of its origin, its pagan origin. And however, as believers, we see Easter as a time to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. You see, some people get bent all out of shape over these things, but this is what the scripture tells us in Colossians 2, 16 and 17. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So if you choose Easter Sunday to celebrate, and I hope you do, celebrate the resurrection of Christ, we can dishonor the pagan traditions by turning their holiday into his holy day. Oh, I want somebody to get that right there. Hallelujah. And we have no need to worry. Turn to that person and say, no worries.
No worries.
We have no need to worry about the judgment of men because we have respect of a holiday. Now, with all that being said, let's go back to our text. Well, we find that some women went to the sepulcher of Christ, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them. And you know, in biblical days, it was tradition, if you please, to make sure you go and prepare the body with all types of spices. And so they were going there with that in mind, but perhaps also to mourn the passing of the Savior. And instead of finding him there, they find two men in shining garments who told them a truth. Somebody said he was speaking the truth. This is what they said. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Somebody said, that sounds like a question. It is a question. Why do you seek the living among the dead? For he is risen. They were looking among the dead for the Savior. But they weren't going to find the Savior among the dead. The fact is, he got up. Somebody said, he got up. And I contend today, he's still up, doing great things. He got up. The tomb is empty. Brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, if you have the capital, if I have the capital, we could right now get on some planes and go to different places of people that they said were the Christ or that they said was the Savior. Lenin, over there in Europe, he even on his grave, he put that he was the Savior. But guess what? We can go to Lenin's grave right now and there's a bag of bones still there. Harry Kestner, we could go there and there's still some bones in the grave. James Smith, we can go to that grave and find that he's still there. These are all men that proclaim to be the Christ. But we find that they are there. But when we go to his grave, thank you, Jesus. The tomb is empty. The one songwriter said, no grave can hold my body down. So it's empty. He has risen indeed. And this is what we have learned in our walk with Christ, our Christian experience, that we will not find Jesus among the deadness of religion. Brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, he does not abide in a dead church. You see, he dwells in the midst of his church by his spirit. And guess what? You too can experience a real relationship with him by the power of the Holy Ghost. Anybody in need of the Holy Ghost? I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is here this morning. Because of his resurrection, millions of his followers have experienced being resurrected in various areas of their life. Can I get me one somebody to say amen? Your life has been completely turned around because of the resurrection. Ask yourself, am I one of them? And if the answer is no, I encourage you to take a good look, a good hard look at yourself and recognize that you have a real spiritual need that the world and the things it has to offer cannot meet those needs. Only Jesus, somebody, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only Jesus can meet these needs with his resurrection power. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Hallelujah. I'm here to declare this to you today. That only Jesus can fill the void that's in your heart and satisfy your longing, your thirst and hunger to be filled. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. But the only way to access it is through the cross. Somebody say, it's the cross. You see, one writer put it this way. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart, it rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight. Don't need these speakers now, because now I'm happy all the time. Any happy folk in the house of God today? And that brings me to the old rugged cross. You have to understand what transpired. Here we go Friday. We have a nerve to call it Good Friday. I've been scratching my head about that for a long time. What made it so good? Brothers and sisters, it was good for us, but it wasn't so good for him. You see, his death certificate meant our birth certificate. Oh, somebody get it today. I'm telling you what happened there. It's at the old rugged cross where he went through some stuff. He went from judgment hall to judgment hall on Friday. He went through being ridiculed. He went to being mocked. They beat him with a cat of nine tails, caused his back to be bust open, blood streaming down. And then they said, let us put a royal robe on him. They stripped his clothes off and then put a royal robe on him. And then they bowed down. And then somebody had a nerve to smack him and say, now tell me, prophesy, who hit you? And after they did that, they put that crown of thorns, and brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, I don't think they were gentle at all. I think they took and they pressed it in his scalp that the blood came streaming down. And from there, they ripped the royal garments off and put back on his clothes. You know how it happens when something dries up, right? Now you rip it off. It's like all fresh and new. And then they took him to a cross. I like to say the old rugged cross. And the Bible said, as they nailed him to the cross, and I know a lot of times we see the depiction of the nails driven in his hands, but actually it's right here in his wrist. But the Bible said this, and he said not a murmuring word. Now, the other two male factors that were being crucified, when they drove the stakes in their hand, you could hear a blood-curdling scream. Oh, no! But when it came to Jesus, the Bible said he did not utter a mumbling word. And then that old rugged cross, they took it and they placed it on a place called Calvary. Brothers and sisters, I understand that we like to make it look real purdy. But when they took the cross, him being mounted on the cross, and they lifted it up, they were going to place it in a hole. And I like to submit to you that when they did that, they took it, raised it up, lifted it up, and then they shoved it in the hole, causing his upper torso to be broken from his lower extremities. And now his body is really in pain. And now instead of just breathing regularly, he's on the cross, and every time it's time to breathe, he sinks down. And then he has to lift up just to get a breath. I'm telling you, God robed himself in flesh. And as we know in the person of Jesus Christ, he came to experience our suffering. He died for us and provided a plan of salvation. You see, repentance is key to this salvation plan. It's a key component. It's a key part of that plan. Simply put, repentance is death to sin. It's a turning away from sin, a daily dying unto sin. Paul said it this way, I die daily. Shame on you saints that die weekly and monthly and yearly. That's why you're in a predicament that you're in. Because you will not crucify or mortify the deeds of the flesh on a daily basis. Romans 8 and 11 says, but if the spirit of him that ascended up, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he raised up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies. That means to make you alive. He will quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. We got to become dead. Somebody said, we got to become dead. We've got to become dead to sin. It's the only way for the plan to work. There must first be the death of a testator before the testament can be of effect. Let me help somebody here because you know how we do. We know we got a little bit of inheritance waiting for us. Only way you gonna get it if that person dies. And then the will is in effect. Well, that's just like your testimony. How you gonna be walking around here saying you blankety blank blank? Hand me another Colt 45. Your testimony is of non-effect. It can only be in power when you die to sin. Oh, I ain't getting no help today. But I don't care because I need somebody to understand the power and hope of the resurrection. So again, we've got to become dead to sin. It's the only way for the plan to work. It's the source of the activation, causing the plan to work. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, it proves. Somebody say, it proves. Somebody say, what does it prove? Come on, talk back to me. What does it prove? He has the power over death. Therefore, he also has the ability to share that same power over death with those who follow him. Yeah. Somebody say, it's the believer. As well, amen. Now, let me pose a question. And that question that needs to be asked is, how does one obtain the resurrection? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm just looking. I'm curious, how does one obtain the resurrection power over death? Yeah. Well, the answer is we must be willing to acknowledge the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that his sacrifice brought our salvation. In other words, he redeemed us. He brought us back. Now, that allows you and I to be able to follow his example spiritually. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, it says it this way. What? Somebody say, what?
What?
That's a question. He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? I need somebody to get a hold of that, because you think you all that in a bag of chips. You don't belong to yourself any given time. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody bought any chips lately? I'm telling you, they're robbing us. I feel like George Foreman. I've been robbed. They're robbing us. Man, there's a bunch of air in there. And just a small portion is the chip. But I said all of that to say, for you that think you're all that in a bag of chips, he can take and hit that bag and bust it. Then where you gonna be? For we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, you don't belong to yourself. You have been bought with a price. I submit to you that God's resurrection power has imparted to the child of God. And that means that we also have power over death. Power to witness. I'm talking about soul saving power. Power over sin and temptation. It's power to rebuke the devil. I plead the blood of Jesus against you. And then we can turn around and watch him flee. We have power to overcome the weapons that are formed against us, but shall not prosper. Anybody glad about that part of it? No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. No matter how you slice it or dice it or how you say it, it's the power that comes from receiving the Holy Ghost. If you're sitting in this place, if you're watching live stream and you don't have this power, I submit to you, Resurrection Sunday is a good day to get it. Hallelujah. It's the power that comes from receiving the Holy Ghost, which is due to his sacrifice on Resurrection Sunday. Now, this day, somebody say this day. Over 2,700 years ago, this day brought complete victory. Somebody say complete victory. Demonstrating his power over death. How do I know? Because then he says this. Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Anybody want to give God some thanks right now? But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory. We got the V-I-C-I-T-O-Y, which God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's found in 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57, which also includes his power over the devil too. Somebody say T-O-O. Yeah. We also have, as believers, the same power because of the Holy Ghost, which dwells in us. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the... Talk back to me. That's in 1 John 4 and 4 in part. But ye shall receive power. Somebody say power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's in part in Acts 1 and 8. So the goal is to have him dwell on the inside of you. That was the purpose of his suffering, his dying and being resurrected. It was for us, taking our place. He was that substitute. Somebody please, with your loud voices, you know how you holler at little boo-boo. Somebody say, he did it,
he did it.
Just for me.
Just for me.
But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53 verses 5 and 6. It was also that we would obey him. It's one thing to say you trust him, but do you obey him? See, he will have you sometimes in some places where you're scratching your head and saying, God, I trust you, but I don't know if I could obey you right about now. I remember, and I'll never forget this, my mother in the gospel, her name is Dorothy Sneed. Many of you had the privilege and honor to meet her. She has a brother named West. And West tells of an account of one day he was riding. They lived in Texas. And sometimes in Texas, there's these long stretches of road. And then sometimes they're going upward. And you don't know what's on the other side. He was on the right side of the road. Somebody said he was on the right side. He was obeying the law. He was doing everything he should have done. But in that moment, the Spirit of God said, move to the wrong lane. Now, remember we talked about trust. It's one thing to trust him, but it's another thing to obey him. Now, the Lord told him, you're on the right side of the road. He's coming up. He can't see what's on the other side. But the Lord said, now I need you to switch lanes to the wrong lane. He did not hesitate. As soon as he switched in the right lane in which he was traveling, a vehicle was coming directly in that lane. Had he stayed in that lane, it would have been a head-on collision. He would have lost his life. He's done all of this that we would obey him and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm saying to you, and I'm about to wind up, he really wants to give you the Holy Ghost. He really wants to live inside of you. So the question on the floor is, what are you waiting on? I promise you, you're not waiting on him, precious hearts, because he's waiting on you. He's waiting on you to finally say, Lord, I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I give you my all. Would you please, sir? Would you please, ma'am? On this Resurrection Sunday, receive the gift that God has for you. Can I get you to stand? The power and hope of the resurrection. Resurrection Sunday brought a lot of things into play. But one of the key things was, and I'll put it this way, in John 3 and 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I like to submit to you that are here live and in living color and those that are on live stream, that he would have done that just for you. If you were the only one, somebody on the planet Earth, and you needed saving, all what I showed you at the rugged cross, all of those three-day events being ushered from judgment hall to judgment hall, being ridiculed, being mocked, being spit upon, having his beard plucked out, being beat with 40 stripes on his back. I submit to you, if you, sir, ma'am, were the only one somebody on earth, he would have done it just for you. With every head bowed, and all eyes closed. Lord, I don't know if I was able to convey this like it should have been done. But it is my prayer, God, that somebody today, whether in person or on live stream, would make, Lord, their way to the altar. Maybe they're in their bedrooms. Lord, let that bed become their altar. Maybe they were looking in the living room. Let that Lord Jesus sofa become their altar. And those that are here, live in a living color, the altar has always been open. It awaits you, sir, ma'am. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus just as you are, weary and worn. But I trust you will find a resting place in him on today. God bless these that are coming. And maybe there's somebody that's here and you are literally racked with pain in your body. And you spent all night tossing and turning. I'm telling you that the doctor is in the house. I'm telling you that he makes house calls. He's here right now, willing to touch you and meet and supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. Are you here? Maybe there's somebody in our listening audience. YouTube, I don't get a chance to see you. Facebook, I don't get a chance to look at you. Those that, Lord, on Spotify, I don't get a chance always to engage with you. But I plead with you right now. I beseech you. That word means I plead, I urge you. On this Resurrection Sunday, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus just as you are. As these are here at the altar, we have anointed them with oil in the name of the Lord. And it is our prayer that you that are there, you will pray with us as we pray with them. Amen.
Thank you, Father. I gotta give you thanks. Because, Lord, everything that you have done, I didn't look at it now. I thank you, Lord, for the release of every chain. Everywhere I go, God, I gotta give you praise. Because you have heard my cry. We have been smothered by the grace of God, and it has brought us joy. Therefore, Lord, we was able to make a joyful noise in this city. We have learned to forgive, and with that in mind, God, I just can't stop praising you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Amen.